That was Nicholas Angelich playing Mussorgsky's pictures at an exhibition at LSO St Luke's last year. And that completes today's lunchtime concert here on BBC Radio 3. Tomorrow, our usual Monday lunchtime date at the Wigmore Hall, Nina Stemmer is the soprano with Matti Hirvonen at the piano in songs by Schumann, Wagner and Kurt Weill. That's tomorrow, just after 1 o'clock. This Sunday afternoon on BBC Radio 3, it's just gone 2 o'clock. Time to join Lucy Skeeping for this week's Early Music Show.
Yes, welcome to the show. And once again, I'm speaking to you from Radio 3's Glass Pod here on the terrace of London's Royal Festival Hall in South Bank Centre. So every week I get an audience I can actually see, so this is rather special. And they do seem friendly enough, thank goodness, sitting on sofas or at tables just the other side of the glass. Today we're hearing some highlights from last summer's Utrecht Early Music Festival. Since it was founded back in the 1980s, it's become one of the major get-togethers for period music. Over the 10 days, drawing in a host of international performers and attracting large and enthusiastic audiences. There's even an early instrument fair where I gather you can purchase a Kromhorn or a Rebec virtually off the peg, and you can't say that very often. Over the next hour or so, we're going to be dipping into several different concerts that took place in various churches around the city. Utrecht has long been an important place, and today its medieval cathedral and university, its galleries, narrow little houses and cafes that line the networks of canals, not to mention the great army of bicycles, make it a buzzing tourist centre as well. We're going to start in the city's Domkirk, St Martin's Cathedral, an impressive Gothic building that dates back to the 11th century, and I'm told now houses the hearts and indeed the bowels of two Holy Roman emperors. The players are Le Concert Spirituel, a Paris-based group named after the first private concerts to take place in France. Their music for this concert, though, is Italian, part of a recently discovered mass by the 16th century composer Alessandro Strigio. And it certainly needs all the space the great Domkirk can provide. The Missa Sopra Ecco Si Beato Giorno was composed for the noble Medici family in Florence. And it's an awe-inspiring vocal structure on an enormous scale, which requires five separate choirs, each of them with their own instrumental ensemble. We're going to hear the Kyrie and the Gloria, which features some truly joyful trumpeting. Kyrie and the Gloria from one of the greatest and arguably one of the most ambitious works of the Italian Renaissance, Alessandro Strigia's Mass Ecco Se Beato Giorno, performed by Le Concert Spirituel, directed by Hervé Niquet. Part of their concert given at the Cathedral in last year's Utrecht Early Music Festival. Well, our next set comes from a concert given in the city's Peterskirk, a darkly atmospheric Romanesque church just a short walk from the old city centre. The performers this time are Capilla Flamenca, and they include music by one of the festival's featured composers this year, Orlando Lassus. This sequence includes a series of very different settings, both vocal and instrumental, of a popular French song from the early 1500s entitled Dulce Memoir. Certainly it must have been something of a hit because it inspired so many musical treatments during the Renaissance, some of them elaborate and virtuosic, others more gentle, reflecting the nostalgic text. Sweet memory consumed in joy. A happy time of such understanding, the steadfastness of our love. But now, alas, it has lost its strength, severing the thread of my only hope. Cease, therefore, joy, for sudden evil comes. We'll hear a setting of the poem by Pierre Sandrin and two movements from a mass based on the melody of the song by Lassus, as well as instrumental versions for bass viol and for solo lute.
Thank you.
sequence of five very different settings of the popular French song Dulce Mémoire by various composers of the 16th century. The performers were Capilla Flamenca, directed by Dirk Snelling, as part of a concert they gave last summer in the Utrecht Early Music Festival. We're going to continue with music from that same concert and some more by Lassus. The fact that Lassus was one of the most famous composers in his day wasn't only due to his extraordinary versatility, but to his appetite for travel. From an early age, he worked in Italy, Sicily, and France, as well as his native Low Countries. In fact, he was such a prodigious talent that at just 21, he was appointed director of music at one of Rome's major churches. Lassus may look rather stern in his paintings with his dark formal attire, but he was known to have had quite a humorous side. This song is all about the love of drink, and towards the end there's even a suggestion, shall we say, of over-imbibing. Au vin en vigne, lovely sweet vine, wine in the vineyard. Hey, you lovely sweet bunch of grapes.
Oh, thank you.
A lot of vino going down there. But they still managed all the counterpoint, didn't they just? The singers and players of Capilla Flamenca, directed by Dirk Snellings, with a drinking song by Orlando Lassus, part of a concert from the Utrecht Early Music Festival given at the city's Peterskerk last summer. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, coming to you live today from the Radio 3 Pod in London's South Bank Centre, which I might add gives me a pretty good view of the Thames. Well, for the main piece in London in today's programme, we're going to bring you a world premiere, no less, which isn't a phrase you hear all that often when it comes to early music. It's a setting of the Miserere by the composer Antonio Biffi. Born in Venice, Biffi became director of music at St Mark's. So, as you might expect, most of his surviving works are preserved in the cathedral. However, this one seems to have got away and somehow ended up in France's Bibliothèque Nationale within a volume otherwise devoted to motets by Lully. How did it get there? Well, documents tell us that on Maundy Thursday 1704, a Miserere by the music master of St Mark's was performed at Versailles, apparently commissioned by Philip II of Orléans, the future Prince Regent, and an admirer of Italian music. So it's a rather special performance today, and one which last summer the Utrecht Festival were no doubt delighted to host. The venue was the city's 13th century Jacob Kirk. Taking us toward the end of today's programme, then, a recording of the world premiere performance of Miserere Mei Deus, Have Mercy on Me, Lord, by Antonio Biffi.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Antonio Biffi's long-lost Miserere, rediscovered in all its glory and performed at last year's Utrecht Early Music Festival by Le Parnasse Français, directed by Louis Castellin. And that brings us to the end of today's show, which has come to you live from London's South Bank Centre. Thanks for listening, and thanks to all of you who came down in person to keep me company, just as well I powdered my nose because you've all been taking photos. I'm Lucy Skeeping. This has been the Early Music Show, and I'm off now to get a sandwich and play Poo Sticks on Waterloo Bridge. Do join me next week when I present a programme about Gluck's opera Iphigenie en Tauride.
Today's Early Music Show was produced by Helen Garrison.
Live in Concert brings you a Bruckner double bill. On Wednesday, the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Kirill Karavits, perform Bruckner's last symphony, his ninth. And on Friday, Maris Janssens leads the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra in the symphony which brought Bruckner the greatest success within his own lifetime, his seventh. Join me, Martin Handley, for Bruckner's Symphonies 7 and 9, live in concert on Wednesday and Friday at 7:30, or catch up with each concert via the Radio 3 website.
It's Sunday afternoon here on BBC Radio 3, and it's the last day of our two-week South Bank residency. There's been live dancing here in the foyer already today, and I think before the afternoon is out, there'll be live singing. And I say that because Sarah Moore-Peach is here to present the choir live at 4 o'clock. Sarah, what have you got for us today?
Are you in fine voice today, John?
I could help out.
I think we're going to need all the help we can get. We're going to attempt a live sing-along just before the end of the programme to, as it were, sing us out of our South Bank residency, the very last thing that we're doing live from here. We're also looking ahead to next week, the Chorus Festival, which is going to be taking over South Bank Centre, a huge festival of singing. We'll be finding out about that, and we'll be hearing from live from one of the choirs participating, the Greenwich Group from the London Soul Choirs. And Janáček's Glagolitic Mass is my choral classic at 5 o'clock. It all starts at 4 with live singing.
Thank you very much, Sarah Moore-Peach, with the choir here on Radio 3 in an hour's time. This is BBC Radio 3. It's now exactly 3 o'clock and time for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast live from Bristol Cathedral last Wednesday afternoon. The canticles were composed by Herbert Howells in 1951 for St Paul's Cathedral, and the anthem In Exile is Herbert's Sumption, setting of words from Psalm 137, By the Waters of Babylon We Sat Down and Wept, composed in 1981 for Donald Hunt and the Choir of Worcester Cathedral. The service opens now with an introit by Pablo Casals, perhaps better known as a cellist than as a composer. Written in 1932, O Vos Omnes is an adaptation of words from the Book of Lamentations. O all you who walk by on the road, pay attention and see.
Thank you. Welcome to this service of choral evensong at Bristol Cathedral. Founded in the 1140s, this magnificent building was for 400 years a monastery of Augustinian canons. At the time of the Reformation, the Norman nave had been demolished and work on its replacement was halted. In 1542, the disused Abbey of St. Augustine of Canterbury became the Cathedral of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, with a new nave finally being completed in 1888. As both abbey and cathedral, the psalmody has been part of the pattern of daily worship in this building for hundreds of years, and our service continues with Psalm 119, verses 121 to 144.